To be fair to the First Minister, it was yesterday on this programme, 24 hours ago, that I was asking him a direct question. Now that he does know about these letters, what is he going to do about it? He's put his job on the line. And it has been made clear by the DUP that he will resign as First Minister if the letters are not rescinded. Yesterday, Peter Robinson was incandescent with rage and threatened to quit as First Minister. He has now set a Friday deadline for the government to respond to his demands.
Absolutely furious that this has been going on without us being informed about it, without having any knowledge of what was going on. And that would be bad enough because most of this did take place during the period when the Ulster Unionist Party were the main party in Northern Ireland. Most of it is around 2000, 2001, 2002, and on into 2003. But there are aspects of it which have gone on beyond the time when we set up the new administration here in 2007. And indeed, I am informed, right up to 2012, this has been going on, the processing of these matters. I am furious. I know David Ford is furious about it because none of us were informed. And I have to say, quite frankly, I am not prepared to be the First Minister of a government that is kept in the dark on matters which are relevant, very relevant to what we are doing. I've spent the last number of months dealing with the Haas talks. The Haas talks were about getting justice for people who had had no justice for the terrorist acts that had been carried about against them or their families. Now we find out that they never would get justice because there are people going around with letters stuffed in their pockets which said that even if somebody fingers you, you're not going to jail. That is an outrage, I think, in any democratic state.
Well, Peter Robinson has made it clear he wants a judicial inquiry, and the DUP have made it clear, as we've been saying this morning, if those letters are not rescinded, he is gone. This is a very, very significant story. And the DUP Minister, Arlene Foster, was on the Nolan Show last night.
What he's saying is he needs to have clarity in and around the letters. Who got them? What do the letters actually say? Because we understand that different people got different letters and we want to know what exactly those letters have said. And we understand the letters have been going out from 2000 right up until 2012. So we need to know what the letters say.
And he's asked for a public inquiry.
And he needs a public inquiry, but the people are entitled to know.
And he's asked for the letters to be rescinded.
Yes.
And that's at the heart of this, because the DUP is saying those letters are fundamentally wrong.
Yes.
Which is why I'm asking you this question. Has the First Minister... is he saying he will resign if those letters aren't taken out?
Well, Stephen, he's been very clear about what he said today.
Well, can you just be clear to me?
Yes,
is he?
Absolutely.
If the letters are not rescinded, is he resigning?
He is resigning unless there's clarity around the letters and unless there's a public inquiry in relation to what has happened.
She then went on to say, whether there's clarity or not, if the letters are not rescinded, he is gone. Sinn Féin's Gerry Kelly had this to say about the First Minister's comments.
I think he's painted himself in the corner. With due respect to yourself, I think you've helped him pin himself further until tonight.
And Gerry Kelly had to say this when I asked him if there should be an inquiry into these letters.
Whether there is or not, it cannot go back on an agreement which was made with the two governments on the OTRs, which involved these people.
Now, I can tell you already, within minutes of us coming on air, every line into the BBC is jammed this morning. So please be patient if you are trying to get through. Quite an extraordinary reaction within the first few seconds of us coming on air. Alex Maskey from Sinn Féin is with us today. So it is very clear, Alex Maskey, the First Minister is walking out of his job unless those letters are rescinded.
Well, I mean, that's entirely a matter for Peter Robinson. If that's what he chooses to do, then that's what he will do. The point that I would make, I think, which is for me, the only important point here is that if this issue arises because of the issue of around letters, which was an attempt to deal with an unresolved matter around what we call the past, then obviously that's not going to be dealt with. So therefore, it's to be a field exercise. So Peter will resign, you'll end up with an election, but you still have to come back to deal with the issue of the past. And we would be contending very clearly that the way to do that is to implement the Haas report, but at least give the widest number of victims and survivors some mechanism by which they can go and get some either truth or justice, and it'll be their choice. So Peter doesn't represent all the victims necessarily, neither does Sinn Féin. So the Haas proposals do represent the best way of going forward. So creating a crisis about clarity around matters or whatever else isn't going to tackle the core issue.
Yeah, but of course there is a core issue for this democracy in this country, and it is that nothing should be done in secret like that, Alex Maskey. A little deal between you and the British government. My goodness, is this the first time that I've ever talked about a nice, cosy, friendly, secret relationship between Sinn Féin and the British government? You're even getting royal prerogatives now.
Stephen, you can categorise it whatever way you wish. At the end of the day, both the British and Irish governments formally and publicly on more than one occasion recognised this was an anomalous situation that needed to be resolved.
Why did you keep the letter secret?
Sorry, the BBC this morning has carried excerpts from Stephen Ford meetings. The Ames Bradley report published the matter. So for anybody to say that they weren't aware that this matter was being dealt with, then they're not actually telling you the truth. And you shouldn't be their mouthpiece either. So people cannot say that they weren't aware of the fact that this matter was being dealt with.
I have listened to the BBC coverage this morning, and indeed I have looked at all the documents that are being referred to, and I see no place in any of those documents where those letters were referred to. Now, your colleague, your party colleague, Gerry Kelly, said last night, Alex, that it was important, and I'm paraphrasing him here, but he acknowledged that the letters were secret and said that there would have been a crisis if people had have known about them.
I'm not doubting that at all, but the point I'm making is that there's no political party, no person involved in politics, never mind beyond that, can say that the matter was not being dealt with. You heard the excerpt of the policing board meeting. Did the DUP not then go on to pursue that with any other inquiries? I'd be surprised if they didn't, and if they did not, then they were obviously satisfied with the information that was given by Drew Harris, which was the matter was being dealt with, crawled through it. But so, at the end of the day, the reason why, because this is why I'm saying at the start of the programme, Stephen, we need to go back to the core issue. The reason why Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness invited Richard Haass and Megan O'Sullivan in here was because the parties couldn't agree on how to deal with the past or flags or parades for that matter, but in this context we're talking about the past. So if you had expected to get the parties to agree on any of these matters, you never would have got an agreement. And by the way, the DUP was the biggest anti-agreement party, so why would they support anything to do with the release of prisoners? So they were against it from the start, and there's obviously quite a number of their party members still against where we even are now. So, you know, you would never have got an agreement, Stephen, as well as you know, and as well as most people out there know, had it been left to the parties. That's why Richard Haass was here. He's here as evidence of the failure of the party to deal with the past.
Martin McGuinness is meeting Theresa Villiers, I believe, today, the Secretary of State. What will he say to her?
Well, obviously, what Martin McGuinness will be saying, is, and you'd have to ask him precisely what he'll be saying, but the Sinn Féin position will be very clear. Agreements were reached. They need to be honoured and need to be maintained. People need to have a steady hand here instead of talking up crisis. We need to resolve these issues. For us, the best way of dealing with the past.
So are you saying there's no question of those letters being rescinded?
Well, why should they be? They were issued in good faith and they were accepted in good faith, and that's the way it should remain.
Accepted and, you know, by who? Without any of the rest of the parties consenting to it?
Well, the parties never would have agreed in the first instance they issued such a letter, so that matter would never have been resolved. That's the point that I'm making. So, you know, to expect parties who were against the entire process to agree to anything would have been very difficult, but it was difficult enough to get the political institutions reestablished. I think people recognise it was hard work done to secure that position.
Alex,
all I'm saying to Peter Robinson and anybody else, work these divisions, when we talk about a crisis, we have had a crisis here for the last 12, 15 months on the streets of this city and beyond, where a disorder causing millions of pounds, many, many injuries. Maybe 600 or 700 people, many of them from East Belfast, charged and convicted with public order offences. Was that not a crisis for those people? Was that not a crisis for the whole society that we have here? So the parties need to knuckle down rather than have an assembly meeting which will enable every single unionist to be negative and one to be more negative than the next. That's not going to resolve the crisis. That's not going to solve the issue, more importantly, for the victims. At least the Haass proposals, if we implement them, will actually allow the widest number of victims to have some opportunity to to get justice for the truth.
So if,
that's what we need to do. Talk up a bit.
So it's clear you're saying that the letters will not be rescinded, that Sinn Féin will not tolerate that. That means Peter Robinson is going to resign as First Minister. What happens then to this country? Is that good for this country?
Well, you heard Gary Kelly on your programme last night saying that people are digging themselves in their corner, and I would be urging people to get themselves out of their corners, because what we have to do is around the table, not sit in a corner, not walk out the door, get round the table and sort the problems out. Because whether you have an election or not, and whether you have
maybe that's what's needed to clear the air.
Well, you know, what are you going to get out of an election? Is the Unionist Party is going to go forward saying, vote for us and we won't solve this, vote for us and we won't deal with this issue? That's all you'll get.
Maybe the parties will stand on this principle. Vote for us and there won't be any secret deals again. Vote for us and we will make a stand to say that under no circumstances will one party in this country do a secret deal with another, push it through, and no one knows about it. Intolerable, they may say, in a democracy.
Stephen, we signed up for the House proposals as a major compromise, as a comprehensive means of dealing with the past. That's what we formally and publicly signed up to. We committed ourselves to that. That's very clear. The House proposals are very comprehensive and it'll be binding on all of us, and we were prepared to accept that publicly. And we did that. What I would say to you, Stephen, you need to ask the parties who are threatening to resign or to wind up a crisis. You need to ask them to tell us and tell the public what are they going to do in the middle of an election or after an election to deal with the past. Because let me tell you, they haven't done too much about it so far.
And I will ask them.
What are they going to do about the crisis?
Here's a very important question. And I think you will agree at least with the start of what I'm about to say. For Northern Ireland to function, there needs to be a working, good relationship between the First Minister and the Deputy First Minister. They need to be able to work together. On that, are we agreed?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So what on earth would anybody think if what has happened here? How do you expect Peter Robinson to react when he's looking Martin McGuinness in the eye, when he's talking to him, when he's sitting down talking to him about Haas, when he's sitting down talking to him about trying to get violence off the streets, and actually when the First Minister is also working on trying to come up with a resolution about victims, about the past, and Martin McGuinness in the back of his head is saying this to himself: I know what you don't know, Peter. I actually know that some of the perpetrators, alleged perpetrators, they've got a deal. Now, how on earth do you expect Peter Robinson to continue a working relationship with Martin McGuinness?
Well, the issue that you, I agree with you entirely. It's very, very important that there's a working relationship, better if there was a better personal relationship, but there certainly needs to be a professional relationship between not only the First and Deputy First Minister, but both the parties, and indeed all of the parties around that effective table, because we all represent people out there. None of us represent all the victims. Some of us may represent some. We certainly don't represent all of them. And we have had to sit through discussions and negotiations and side deals whenever, for example, the DUP went off, got side deals with the British government to abandon an Irish Language Act or to tinker with the education system, or to get tens of millions of pounds of so-called security force members and secret and private deals that the British government gave to the DUP as sweeteners. So let's not sort of sit on a high horse and say that there haven't been a whole raft of deals done over the last number of years. Peace process was built on a whole network and plethora of structures, discussions, side deals, agreements. Ultimately, all of these things have been voted on election after election. The parties are where the parties are. And I make this point, Stephen. People know and are very well aware that there has not been a great working relationship within the executive in the past year, because there's been a crisis on the street.
Wow. Now, why on earth would anybody, got a lot worse now.
Why would anybody want to make the crisis deeper? And all of these matters have been dealt with years ago, essentially, because there was no agreement around the table.
Well, some of the letters were issued as recently as a year ago, Alex. Some of those letters were issued as recently as a year ago.
That was still a process which was arrived at several years ago.
2012,
publicly well dealt with and well heard. So, again, I'm saying, Stephen, rather than people talking themselves in their corner, talking themselves into a crisis, you still need to work out what are you going to do with the core issue when you get back from your crisis. And, you know, getting into a crisis, as we have known far too often, getting into a crisis is not as easy as getting out of
and
one.
And do you think an election is getting closer by the hour?
It's entirely a matter for the people who are saying they're going to resign. But if it's an election, then so be it. The point I'm making is that the people who will force an election will have to tell people what's going to be different after that election. Are they going to build the past? Because they haven't made a great festival so far, which is why we had Haas and Megan O'Sullivan. Two people come in here, put their professional reputation on the line, give an inordinate amount of personal and family sacrifice to help us, because we failed. The five parties here failed. The five parties in both governments failed collectively to deal with the past, which is why we have a lot of victims sitting out there.
Key question from Mike Nesbitt, the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party last night. Did Haas know? Did he know? And if he didn't know, why didn't the British government tell him?
Well, you know, you need to ask Richard Haas what he knows I would imagine that Richard Haas went into those discussions. Richard Haas is no fool. Richard Haas is a very experienced person. He would have went into those talks with eyes wide open. He was part of a US administration.
So do you believe Richard Haas knew?
I have no idea. I don't speak for Richard Haas, and you need to ask him. But he's a wily, experienced person. That's why he was invited in to do the job by Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness collectively. So I think what we need to do now is at least respect the work that they did, because the Haas and Megan O'Sullivan proposals represent a big compromise, some of which wouldn't be comfortable for me and many people that I represent, but we were prepared to stand up for that, and we said that publicly, and we've urged others to
do. But who knows what you're signing up for? How does this country know that you haven't done side deals with Haas, that you haven't got side letters from Haas, that you haven't got secret deals with Haas? How does anybody know that?
They published their proposals that people have to sign up for. That has to be legislated for, and it has to be implemented, which is why we are saying the British government, which has sat on the fence, by the way, from the Haas proposals. The Irish government has said the Haas proposals represent the best way forward. US administration has a similar view. Three political parties have a similar view, except the two unionist parties.
Stay there.
So, Richard Haas has integrity. He has a process. He has proposals on the table. And as far as we are concerned, if we implement that set of proposals, then we can deal with the widest number of people out there, victims and survivors collectively. That's the job of the party to do, not to create another crisis.
Alex Maskell, thank you. I know you have to go. I do indeed. So thank you very much indeed for coming on.